you look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message entitled, The Miracle of the Moment. On the way to church today, I asked my wife, I said, would you like to read the scripture today? See, on Wednesday nights, one of the lay ministers read, and it's usually about 12, 14, 16 verses long. And they say, preacher, why is it so long? So I picked the short one today. Starting a series today called The Miracles of Christmas. And today we're going to look at the miracle of the moment. And I'm going to ask all who can stand to please do so in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Today our scripture passage comes from Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just want to say thank You. Thank You that You're an on-time God, that You're never late, that You're always on time. And God, I pray today that You would speak to us about the miracle of the moment that happened on Christmas Day so many years ago. And help us, God, to see the miracle of the moment that You bring about in our day-to-day lives. Speak to us now, God, through Your Word, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today is the beginning of Advent. Now, a lot of Baptists don't know what Advent is, but if you're from a Lutheran or a Presbyterian or Episcopalian Methodist tradition, you probably have heard the term Advent. It is Latin for coming. And Advent has two parts. We look at Jesus coming the first time and the anticipation that the people had then, but it also reminds us He's coming a second time, and we need to be alert and ready and looking. Because, you see, many people miss His first coming. We don't want to miss His second coming. So today is the first Sunday of Advent. It is four Sundays before Christmas. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but there's only 26 days till Christmas. That is 624 minutes to Christmas. Six hundred and 23 minutes till Christmas. Have you noticed how long it seems when you're waiting? 1 minute when you're waiting seems so long. But you know what? If you're enjoying what you're doing, 1 minute just doesn't seem very long. Did you discover just then that 1 minute in of silence in a Baptist church is a long time? Yes. And so we look at today, timing. On my watch, there's a second hand, and of course, there's a minute hand. There's an hour indicator on there. And what we're going to look at today is the miracle of the moment. Think about it. 3,800 years ago, God told Abraham He was going to send His Son. I want you to know that 3,000 years ago, God told David that He was going to send His Son. Well, you would think after all of that time of waiting on the Messiah that people would begin to ask, where's God? Is God late? Where's the Messiah? Well, Jesus came at just the right time. Today, I want you to look at the miracle of the moment that happened there in the manger. But I want you to know a couple of things about Christmas before we look at the miracle of the moment. Did you know that we have no recorded incidents of the early church celebrating Christmas for the first 300 years? The first mention of Christmas in history is 311 A.D. Did you know in 1617 that Christmas was banned in England? A few years later, in 1640, the Parliament of Scotland voted to do away with Christmas as a holiday because Christmas had become so pagan. Now get this. It wasn't until 1958 that Christmas became a holiday in Scotland again. In other words, 318 years went by where Scotland did not observe Christmas as a holiday. And of course, we just finished up with Thanksgiving. You remember the Pilgrims? You remember at school, you know, studying about the Pilgrims? Did you know in 1659, the Pilgrims outlawed Christmas in New England? Think about that. 120 years before America became a nation, the Pilgrims outlawed the observance of Christmas. And in the New England part of the United States, Christmas wasn't really celebrated until Charles Dickens wrote his novel, The Christmas Carol. And even in modern times, did you know in 1917 that Russia, or Soviet Union, made it against the law to celebrate Christmas? And every year on December the 25th, they would have school, and they would have the school children to march up at the teacher's desk and spit on the cross. Starting in 1917. Did you know that practice continued up to 1991? You see, we're excited about Christmas around here, but I want you to know that Christmas has not always been well received in different parts of the world, even in America. And there are some who say today that there's even a war on Christmas now in our society. You just be on the lookout when you go shopping in the next 26 days. How many people say happy holidays? How many signs say happy holidays? Well, folks, I don't know about you, but I'm not going out holiday shopping. I'm not going out to buy a Kwanzaa gift, okay? I'm not going out to buy a Hanukkah gift. I'm not going out to get a New Year's gift. I'm going out to buy a Christmas present. And so I see the people and I say, Merry Christmas. Now, their employer might tell them they can't say it, but they can't make me not say it, okay? And so, church, I want to just give you a homework assignment. For the next 26 days when you go out, you say Merry Christmas to as many people as you can. Well, why did the Pilgrims ban Christmas? Why did the Puritans ban Christmas? These are Christians, right? Well, they said it had become too pagan. Well, I want you to know what they're doing is they're talking about some of the traditions that we have around Christmas time. It doesn't have any biblical reference to it. You understand that a lot of our Christmas practices are actually a celebration of Jesus Christ overcoming pagan superstition. For example, a lighted Christmas tree. What does that have to do with Christmas? The wise men didn't have a Christmas tree. Mary and Joseph didn't have a Christmas tree. Where in the world does a Christmas tree come from anyway? Let me just share with you. As the missionaries were taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to different places, they came to some of the Germanic people, And what they would do is every year they would offer up a human sacrifice to the god of the forest. And typically what they would do is they would require a virgin from one of the villagers to be sacrificed on the stump of a tree to appease the god of the forest. Well, guess what? Christian missionaries came around and said, listen, you don't have to sacrifice your children. As a matter of fact, God chose a virgin to give birth to His Son. His Son died on a tree so that your child doesn't have to die on a tree. And so those people got saved. They quit sacrificing their children. And so they didn't have to kill their child. They put up a tree to remember that God sent His Son and He died on a tree. Why do we pick a fir tree? Why do we pick an evergreen tree? Well, they picked an evergreen tree to be a Christmas tree because it points to heaven. Not only that, but the shape of an evergreen tree is in the shape of a triangle. And we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the triangle has always been a symbol of the Trinity. And so you see, instead of sitting around and saying, oh, Christmas has become too pagan, let's you and I celebrate that Christ has overcome the superstitions of the pagans. And so let us look at today the miracle of that moment on Christmas. Have you thought about the importance of timing in life? I want to begin by talking to you about the importance of timing in planting. How many of you enjoy a good ripe tomato? I don't know about you, but I love a good mater sandwich. Duke's mayonnaise. Yeah. And so I think I'm going to go home tomorrow and plant me some tomato plants so I have me some good old tomatoes in the wintertime. Won't work, will it? You see, it's the wrong timing. If you don't believe that, just ask Cheryl McSwain. He had him some tomato plants growing in his little greenhouse. And last year, about Easter time, he put them all out because we had a little warm spell. And he went down to Charleston. When he come back, every one of them had been killed by the frost. You see, planting, timing is everything. Well, think about it, not only in planting, but in playing. You ever play a game of basketball? Now, I've never been the one doing the dunking, but I've actually done the play that's called an alley-oop. And that is, you know, you're standing up at the top of the key, you act like you're shooting at the basket, and it looks like you're going to miss, but you're really throwing a pass. And the tall guy, he jumps up, grabs it, and slams dunks it. You know, the alley-oop don't work unless the timing is right. How about baseball? Did you know there's more to hitting a home run than hitting the ball hard? Did you know timing makes the difference between a foul ball and a home run? That is, I can hit the ball 500 feet, I can hit the ball hard, but if I swing early or I swing late, it's a foul ball. If I swing at the right time, it's a home run. You see, the importance of timing. Even in life, there's some things that you have an opportunity to do things. If you don't do it then, you will not have another opportunity. I want you to think about the timing in life. I mean, how many people would start a diet in December? Not many. Let me tell you why. We're all going to wait till January. You see, timing's everything, even in life. Now, you might be better off to start your diet on December the 1st, but you're going to have all those parties, you see, that you're going to be involved in, all of those holiday gifts. You see, timing is everything. And so I wanted you to begin by seeing Jesus arrived at just the right moment. In Galatians 4:4, it says, but when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Why did Jesus, when He came, why was that the right time? Well, number one, God used the Greeks with language. You see, a guy by the name of Alexander the Great had come earlier, conquered all the known world, and so almost everybody in the whole world spoke a common language. What was it? Koine Greek. You know what language your New Testament God used to write that in? Koine Greek. Let me tell you why. He sent His Son at just the right time so that when the New Testament was written, everybody in the known world could read the Word of God in the same language. You see, it was a miracle of the moment. Not only that, but God used the Romans. And He used them to bring about peace. You see, the Romans under Augustus Caesar started a practice called the Pax Roma. And that is the Roman peace. They built good roads between all the major cities. And because, you see, Rome ruled over all the world at that time, you could go from one country to another country. You didn't have to have a passport. You didn't have to have a visa. They were good roads. You could go and there was peace. Because, you see, the Romans had a practice. If there was any problem, they'd just send the garrison out there, kill everybody and say, "Now, don't do that again." And guess what? There was peace. People understood that. So think about it. Jesus came at just the right moment. When? Everybody spoke the same language. Where you could go anywhere in the world and take the good news that the Messiah had come without a passport, without a visa, without having to worry about crossing borders. And so it was a miracle of the moment. And then God used the Jews with prophecy. Remember Isaiah? When He said, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a child is given." Guess what? God had prophesied. And during this time, there was a great expectation because of the Jews, because of prophecy, all around the world. People were looking for God to show up and send the Messiah. The miracle of the moment. Jesus was born at the exact right time. What does that have to do with us? Everything. You see, the second thing I want you to realize is Jesus provides at the right time. If you have a need, He shows up at the right time. In Psalm 145 and verse 15, it says, "The eyes of all who look to You, and You give them their food at the proper time." You see, because Jesus came at the right time, He can provide for your needs at just the right time. Now, the choir sings this song. They've sung it in the past. They haven't sung it in a while. I don't know why, because I really like it. I guess y'all figured out just because I like it don't mean they sing it. But the name of the song is So You Would Know, and it's by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. And what I like about it is in verse number 1, it says, "When you walked into a problem, didn't I step right in time?" And of course, it just goes to say that in life, Jesus always provides in just the right time. The second part of the chorus in that song says, "Didn't I put food on your table? Didn't I show up when your bills were due?" And the last line of it says, "So you would know how much I love you." You understand that Jesus came at just the right time. A miracle of the moment. I want you to know God shows up at just the right time in our life. I wonder how many people could stand up and say today, "You know what? When I was at my wit's end, when I didn't think I could go any farther, God showed up at just the right time. He saved me at the right time. He healed me at the right time. He provided my need at the right time." The miracle of the moment. In Psalm 104 and verse 27, it says, "All creatures look to You to give them their food at the proper time." Any of you have any bird feeders at your house? I feel for you. Listen, this past year, I had the prettiest stand of silver queen corn you ever seen, and I went out there and something just ravaged it. I thought, well, the raccoons had found my corn patch. But guess what? It wasn't. It was the squirrels. And so I've been eliminating the competition. Now, here's the thing about it. Squirrels really like corn. And so I took some of it that that was left over that they didn't get, and I've put me out some traps, and I've been catching them while I run out. But last night, we were out at Lowe's, and we were looking for one of them little things to fix your Christmas lights with, and we walked past the bird feeding section, and I saw some things of corn there, and I thought, I need to get me some of those so I can get me some more squirrels. And I look, it's $12 for a little bag. I said, oh, no, we'll get the squirrels another one. But I got to thinking, you know, that little bit of bird feed was that much. Can you imagine how God feeds the billions and billions of birds all around the world? You see, for all the creatures who look to Him at the proper time, He gives them their food. You see, Jesus provides at just the right moment. In Deuteronomy 11:14. God is speaking, and He said, I will provide rain for your land at the proper time. The autumn and the spring rains, and you will harvest your grain and new wine and oil. Do you know what God says? God says, I will provide. I'll provide the rain at the rest time. Have you seen any of the pictures out west, out in California, where rivers have dried up and lakes have dried up? Let me tell you why. God hadn't sent the rain. I believe if I lived in California, I'd be in the house of God on my face repenting of my sins and say, God, send rain. You understand, with all of our technology, with all of our science, we still can't make it rain. Only God sends the rain. But notice here, at the proper time, God says, I will send it. There's a beautiful example in the Old Testament of God being an on-time God who provides. It's found in Genesis chapter 22. Before I read verse 8, let me just give you a little bit of background. There was a couple by the name of Abram and Sarai, and they longed to have a child. And God said, I'm going to give you a child. But it looked like that God was late. And then when Sarai was 90 years old, and Abram was 99 years old, God allowed Sarai to conceive. Of course, we call them Sarah and Abraham today. So here he is, a 100-year-old man, and he has a son named Isaac. That's funny. I don't care who you are, okay? 100 years old, you have a child. Well, about 14, 15 years later, God speaks to Abraham, and he said, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your only child. Wait a minute, God, I waited 100 years, and you want me to sacrifice him? Well, let's read here in verse 8. Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son, and the two of them went on together. You see, here's what happened is Abraham loaded up, and Isaac loaded up, two of the servants loaded up, and they said, we're going to Mount Moriah to sacrifice and worship God. So they get to the base of the mountain, the servants stay there, and here's Isaac, and he's carrying the firewood on his back. And he had the knife for the sacrifice. And the Bible says they were carrying fire. Okay, you understand they didn't have a Bic lighter. Can you imagine what it's like to carry fire? And so they got the fire, and he said, Father, here's the fire, here's the knife, here's the wood. Where's the sacrifice? You know what Abraham said? God will provide. God will provide. You know what I love? He told the servants, he said, you wait here, and me and the boy will be back. But God had said, you're going to sacrifice your child. Was he going to bring a dead corpse back? No. You see, by faith, he believed that God was going to provide. God will provide. And so here he is. He ties the boy up. He has everything in place. He raises up the knife, and God said, don't do it. And he looked over there in the thicket. And there was a ram who had his horns caught in the bushes. Notice there what it says in verse 13. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over, and he took the ram, and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And so to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Now, let me just tell you something sweet here, okay? When he says, the Lord will provide, actually he said, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah is our English word for Yahweh. The word Yahweh means I am, I was, and I will be. Do you understand what he's saying? Jehovah Jireh, I have provided, I am providing, and I will provide. But notice it says on the mountain of the Lord. Where was that? That was Mount Moriah. Go look up Mount Moriah. It only appears two times in your Bible. The other's in 2 Chronicles. And what happened on Mount Moriah is King David fought a battle with the Jebusites on a town called Salem. He won that battle, set up his kingdom there, and renamed it Jerusalem. Jerusalem. You see, God will provide on the mountain of the Lord. And so there's Jerusalem. Guess what? The very spot there of Jerusalem, we believe, is where Jesus died on the cross for our sins. You see, God provided a lamb, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That is, at the exact moment, the miracle of the moment. The Lamb of God was provided for us. Romans 5 says it this way. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. When? At just the right time. You see, it's the miracle of the moment. You know, we're trying to build a new sanctuary. That's our plans. We're trying to get everything together. I was talking to one of the general contractors just not very long ago, and while I was talking to him, he said, by the way, Pastor, I have some friends that live in your community there in Krause, and they got some real bad news today. And that is, they found out that she has brain cancer. It's inoperable, and she only has 2 or 3 years to live. I wonder if you'd put Louise on your prayer list. I said, yeah, I'll be glad to. And I said, where'd she live at in our community? So, down here off St. Mark's Road. So guess what happened? That was on Monday. That afternoon, I had my faith training. I took the Scott and Melissa's on my faith team, and I said, we're going to go down here and see these folks. They've never been to Anthony Grove. I don't know what they look like. They don't know who I am. We went out there, and we rang the doorbell, and they came out. And I said, this is Charles and Louise? Yeah, who are you? I said, well, your friend told me that you had got some bad news. And I said, I'm the pastor at Anthony Grove. And he said, my friend don't go to Anthony Grove. I said, no, but he might build us a building. And he said, well, come on in. And so we were there, and I shared the gospel with them, and the husband got saved. And then the wife had got the assurance of her salvation. And so anyhow, we got to witness to them. We had a great time there together. And they said, well, you know, our son's been trying to get us to go to his church. And said, we're going to go. I think we'll go to his church this coming Sunday. Well, remember, she's got this cancer. She only has 2 or 3 years to live. Guess what? This past week, she died. You see, folks, she didn't have 2 or 3 years. She didn't have 2 or 3 months. She might have had 2 or 3 weeks. You see, the miracle of the moment is God had somebody to come by with the good news of Jesus Christ at just the right time. You see, the medical doctor said one thing, but life said something different. The miracle of the moment. At just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And then the third thing I want you to see, Jesus says, now is the right moment. Today is the right moment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, for he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. And look here at this phrase. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. You understand that God's wanting some of you to make a commitment today. God's wanting some of you to make a decision today. Now is the time. You see, it's the miracle of the moment. Don't miss God's timing. Think about it. When Jesus came the first time, the only people that witnessed it were a few shepherds. Everybody else missed the first Christmas. This past week, Tim Hall, he's our bass player, he was telling me this story. He said that God had been telling him for 3 years he needed to come to Anthony Grove. He said, but you know what? I wasn't listening. God said, go to Anthony Grove. He said, I just wasn't listening. But then he was down in South Carolina. They stop. They pull off at an exit, switch drivers. They go down the road, and a guy's flying down the interstate and locks down his brakes. Well, Tim locks down his. I think, oh, my, I'm going to hit him. But somehow, miraculously, he gets stopped. With a person behind him, they don't get stopped as quick. They lock it down, but guess what? They're going to hit Tim and his family right in the rear end. At the last minute, he veers over onto the exit there, but there's three cars pulled off on the side of the road. Boom! He said, oh, my, somebody's probably dead. He gets out. Guess what? Miraculously. See, miracles are still happening today, folks. Miraculously, nobody's killed. With the person who caused the wreck, who slammed on their brakes, they pull on off. Well, guess what? Tim stays around. Highway patrolman comes. Highway patrolman comes up and said, who are you? And he tells him who. He said, what are you doing here? He said, well, I wanted to stay here because I wanted you to know it wasn't this guy's fault. It was somebody else's fault. And he said, and why are you here? He said, I told you why I was here. He said, no, why are you here? He said, I'm just trying to do the right thing. And here's this highway patrolman and pulls Tim off to the side on a wreck on the interstate and talks to him for an hour, wasn't it, Tim? Talks to him for an hour about how God is working in his life to do something and he's been resisting God. And so Tim's saying, listen, you just need to do what God tells you to do. And all the time, Tim's not doing what God's told him to do. So when it's over, he gets in the car, he looks over at his wife, he said, man, God's trying to tell us something. God's trying to tell us something. We need to be paying attention. They go down the interstate and they get off in Kings Mountain, they get off the exit and they pull up and there's a red pickup truck and on the back of it is a Anthony Grove Baptist Church decal. He looks over there and he said, we're going to Anthony Grove Sunday. And, of course, you know the rest of the story. His family came. They've united with the church. They've got involved in our One of Children's ministry and our praise band. But what I'm saying is God is saying now. Now is the time. And if you're not careful, you're going to miss God's timing for God's blessing. Because, you see, we're going to wait till there's a better day. We're going to wait till we get things straightened out. We're going to wait until all the circumstances line up just right. But God says now. Now is the time. As a matter of fact, Jesus began his ministry in Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. God says the time is right now. You've been putting it off long enough. God says now is the time. I had a friend of mine, and he was a really good ball player. His name's Benny. And he came to church. He wasn't interested in the things of God. He wasn't interested in eternity. He wasn't interested in spiritual things. He just wanted to play ball. And the church rule said, you got to attend church to play on the ball team. So he came to church, and he came Sunday after Sunday. And one Sunday, Benny says, God just spoke to him, and he said, Benny, today's the day. Benny, if you don't repent of your sin, if you don't trust me today, you will never have another opportunity. Today is the day. Well, guess what happened when the invitation was given? Benny Gibby got up out of his seat, walked down an aisle, gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. He became a Sunday school teacher, became a deacon, became a soul winner. And it was all because he understood that God's timing was right now. Right now. Now, what I'm about to tell you is a made-up story, but it illustrates a real truth. The story goes something like this. The devil called a business meeting in hell, and he said to the demons, we got to figure out a way to keep these people from coming to God. And one of the demons spoke up, and he said, oh, I got an idea. Let's just tell them that creation is a myth, that really everybody came as because of a great big accidental bang. The devil said, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. People will look at the sunset and the sunrise. They'll see the beauty of creation, and they'll say, there's got to be a creator. One of the other demons spoke up and said, well, let's tell them that the Bible is just a bunch of old fables written by a bunch of old men a long time ago, and they shouldn't believe the Bible. The devil said, that'll never work. If people will open their Bible and read it, it says the Word will witness to them, and they'll know that the Word of God is true. Well, one of the other demons says, well, how about we told them that Jesus was just a man, that he wasn't God? And that he died, but he didn't rise again. The devil said, well, nobody will believe that. Look at all the disciples who willingly laid down their life. People might live for a lie, but nobody will die for a lie. Nobody will believe that. He said, don't y'all have a better idea than that? One of the demons spoke up and he said, devil, I got an idea. Why don't we tell them that God created him? The Bible is true, that Jesus came, that he lived, that he died, that he rose again. And if they trust him, they'll be saved from their sins and go to heaven. Let's tell them that all of that is true. Let's tell them they ought to get saved. But let's tell them not today. Today's not a good day. Let's wait for a better day. And the devil looked at the demon and says, I believe you've got a great idea. You see, the miracle of the moment is at this time and place, God's Spirit is in this place. And he's tugging on people's hearts. And God's saying, trust me. God's saying, trust me, I'll provide. God says, trust me, I'll provide. And the devil's sitting back and he's saying, not today. It's not a good day. Don't do it today. You got to get this straightened out. You got to get this fixed. Don't do it today. But God is saying, today, right now, is the miracle of the moment. I'm going to ask you to bow your head, close your eyes. Nobody's looking around. I'm wondering who's here today and you need God to provide for you financially. You need God to provide for you physically. You need God to provide in the area of your health. You need God to provide in the way of your marriage. You need God to provide in the way of your family. Would you step out today and say, God, I believe that you are Jehovah Jireh. The God who has provided, the God who is providing, the God who will provide. Would you step out and trust him today? But you know, the greatest miracle of all is to be born again into the family of God. I'm wondering who today that you would say, I'm not going to make any more excuses. I'm going to turn my heart and my life over to Jesus Christ. I wonder how many people here are like Tim Hall. And that is, God is saying, I got a place for you. I got a work for you. I've got a ministry for you at Anthony Grove. And you've been visiting this church, and God is saying, now is the time. Get out of your seat. Come join this church. Join hands with these people. See, Tracy was talking about all the talent we have. It doesn't do any good to have the talent if it's not being used. God's blessed us not with just talent, but people willing to use it. Would you be one of those people who say, God, here's my talent, use me? Heavenly Father, I believe that you knew every person that was going to be here before they got here. I believe, God, that today is a miracle moment for somebody here. Help them, God, to step out and to believe. Help them, God, not to miss Jesus this Christmas. Lead us now, God, as we make our decisions, we make our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.